And I want to do a little bit of reading of Scripture, and I'll try not to take too long because I want to take a little bit of time at the end of this to allow for a little bit of application. So I'm going to start tonight in the first chapter of the book of Genesis, and we'll read there in that chapter at verse 2. And there'll be a few other spots that we read, and for the sake of time, I'm going to go ahead and try to get through some of these, and we'll let God have His way in this tonight. I'm thankful for Him being with us. I'm thankful for His presence being here. Even greater than that, I'm thankful that I know Him. I praise Him that I know Him and who He is in my life. He is working on me every day. He's transforming my life to be better and to be different. And I just have to give Him honor for helping me in everything that I bring before Him. There's not a single thing that I ever pray that He doesn't hear me. There's not a single situation that I bring to God that He says, nope, not today, I don't have time for you. He is mindful of every single problem that I ever have, and for that I am truly thankful. Let's go ahead and we'll go through a few of these, and we'll let God have His way. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2 says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Before we were ever formed, we already find the entrance of the Spirit of God. Before it was ever prepared for our entry into the world, God already made preparation for what we would need in order to be sustained. Well, brother, we needed air to breathe. We needed water to drink. Before even water, before air, we find the entrance of the Spirit of God. Now, I want you to go ahead and turn with us. We're going to keep reading a little bit. Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 3. And it says, "For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, in floods upon the dry ground, and I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed," thank you, brother, "and my blessing upon thine offspring." So we begin to read about something that was a little bit different than just water that we drank, and that's what would had been prepared. And you know, you read a lot in the Old Testament of people that were given the Spirit of God, but it wasn't just an everyday occasion that somebody would become anointed with God's power. But we begin to read in some of these scriptures of something that was being foretold that was coming. And there's something to be said about that, and I want to go ahead and go on. We read this one Friday, but I want to go ahead and bring it back into this. Joel 2, 28 and 29. And it says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my Spirit." So we see in the beginning, we see the entrance of the Spirit. In Isaiah 44, we see that prophetic word of the outpouring. Now we know that every word of God that's ever spoken is going to be confirmed. So we read the confirmation of His outpouring. And you even read through the very words of Christ that though He would go away, that He is going to send another Comforter unto us that would be what we would learn by, be sustained by, and be taught by. So I know that there is something more to the Spirit of God than just knowing that it's out there. I'm excited tonight. So we realize that today we have came 50 days from Easter. And we read of this entrance of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2 verse 2 or verse 1 says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it sat upon each of them. And it says that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So we find the beginnings of another Comforter. We find the entrance of the glory of God in us. We find that His outpouring begins in mankind. So what do they begin to do with it? Acts chapter 8 verse 15 says, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet He was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. So what were they doing with what they received? They were giving it out to somebody else. Oh, what a day we live in where it's just about what we feel instead of what we give. But we find that once they begin to have it in their life, that the one mission they had was to distribute it amongst the saints. Whether Jew or Gentile, God wanted everyone to have this presence. Because it says in 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or whether we be free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. So here's what I want to bring to you tonight. This is good stuff right here. What is the baptism of the Holy Ghost? You see, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is an empowering for service that takes place in the life of a believer. In it, we are immersed in God's Spirit and in His power. To illustrate this, if we drank water from a glass, then the water would be inside of us. However, if we went like to the beach and stepped into the ocean, then we would be in the water. We receive, as it were, a drink of the Holy Spirit when we are saved, but when we are baptized in the Spirit, that initial drink all of a sudden becomes a complete submersion of our life and living to God. So it goes from just something inwardly to something that becomes an entire external experience to the believer. It goes from just thought and feelings inwardly to an outward service to God. And what a wonderful thing it was that Jesus even began to talk a little bit about, don't drink from this well anymore, where you'll thirst again. But come and drink from living water, that you never thirst again. And I find that in the direction that God has been showing me, that as we create an atmosphere for conviction, as we create an atmosphere for miracles, as we set forth in our faith to set out for change, there is one constant that must be represented in all of those facets, and that is the Almighty, ever-present, omnipresent, full of inside of you, Holy Ghost of God. It is the one thing that must be evidence and not just assurance. It must show on you, be in you, and something you live with and live by. I'm thankful that God took that opportunity with me. You see, for some, we find that, like Cornelius, you have that all-in-one experience. You get all of that all-amazing power of God all in one time. And for some, I truly believe that they are purposed to get it all at once because God knows they need it all right then. But for some of us, like myself, I received salvation in my life much sooner than I received the Holy Ghost. You know, and I grew up part of my life hearing one denomination tell me that this is as far as it's going to go. But I began to think about it all the times that I began to feel something. And I don't know about you, somebody just help me testify for a few minutes. But when you start obeying God and what you're feeling in the Holy Ghost, there's something longing in you to keep going. Somebody help me out tonight. There's a longing inside of you to want to keep going in whatever you feel. Now, I had somebody ask me, "Brother, how did you know you were called?" To be truthful, I didn't realize I was called for quite a while. All that I knew that there was something that was burning in the depths of my soul that when I began to testify of His goodness, I wanted to say a little bit more than I did before. I wanted to be a little bit more blessed than I was before. I wanted to be a little bit more submerged than I was before. You see, God has showed me that in my life I walked in the shallow end for so long, but He introduced to me a deep end that I had never seen before. And in His presence, He submerged me to the point that even when I had salvation and drug addiction tried to take my life, that experience delivered me out into something greater than any I've ever known. And all of a sudden, knowledge became experience. It just wasn't something I had heard about. It wasn't something I even knew about. I wasn't even taught about the Holy Ghost. But when I felt the power of God come over me, and I received it just like they were telling me, they said, just receive what God is doing, and you just believe that that Spirit is yours and freedom is yours. The moment I received my freedom by faith, all of a sudden I went from just having a cup of water to being thrown out in the depths of the ocean, and my life was never the same again. And I went from just wanting to testify a little bit till I had to start exhorting the people and standing in the midst of them and telling them there's hope for them in Christ Jesus. To hold on a little bit longer and don't let go, because God's not through with you. But I'll tell you, testimony will become exhortation. Exhortation will become prophecy. And prophecy will become the Word. The closer that you get to God, the closer that the Word becomes who you are. Hallelujah. The more that you become what the Word has told you you can have, then the closer you become to all the things the Word has promised you can inherit. So when I am swimming in the ocean, I'm getting out in the deep things of God. I no longer have control of the situation. That's why we find so many that come and get the drink of water, but they don't want the in the ocean experience, because they lose control of what they can feel. So many people approach for prayer wanting the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but in their mind they already have a picture of what that experience is. But the Word of God teaches us that His ways are above ours, and that we can't even begin to comprehend what it is that we're entering into heaven. So that means if we can't even comprehend heaven, then sometimes I can't even comprehend what I feel in the Holy Ghost. Have you ever been in the presence of God so much that you no longer had words? Have you ever been in such a praise that all of a sudden your English becomes something different? I'm telling you, the more that you'll submerge in God, you'll come out a different person. We have young people today that do not know nor understand the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I just heard this the other day. Had some relatives that attended a church camp. They're praying for them, telling them, well, you just offer yourself and start speaking in things you don't understand, and God will move and bless you. But let me tell you something. There's a difference in trying to do it on our own and leading people to be totally surrendered to God. Amen. You see, when we offer our words in trying to receive speaking in tongues, that's like trying to stay on the shallow side. But there's something about when you are submerged in His presence that you no longer worry about what you're saying. You're no longer worrying about what comes out of you. All that you know is that you love God, and you're going to love God by how you show your affection towards Him. I was a part of a prayer service a little while back where we were praying for two or three needs for some adults, but there just happened to be a whole lot of children in the midst. And I began to wonder, now God, did you already know you're going to move for them, even though our minds as humans were only concerned about adults? Let me tell you what began to happen in that moment. I'm excited about this. Let me tell you about this. We begin to pray about the needs of other people, and all of a sudden somebody felt led to get the kids and gather them around, Well, my Lord, we began to pray, and all of a sudden one of them began to speak in other tongues that I bore witness to. It wasn't something they were making up. It wasn't something that they had heard and been taught to do. All of a sudden the outpouring of the Holy Ghost was inside of them. And all of a sudden when one began to do it, it began to spread like fire in the room. I'm talking kids from 8 through 13 years old were speaking in other tongues, in another language, in a heavenly language. Don't tell me, friend, that we just got to try to educate them. There is an experience that is for them, but we've got to be a part of leading them to the deeper things of God. He said, we all come as babes in Christ. Do you remember when you first tried to swim? Maybe some of you don't know how to swim. Now, I remember when I first started learning how to swim, they took me to swimming lessons, and well, I was pretty spoiled. So I swam really good as long as I had somebody's hand underneath me. They let that hand down. Oh, I'm drowning. Only 2 feet of water. Oh, I'm going down. I still remember how scared I used to be. But then I grew up a couple years later and got to go to my cousin's house who had a pool. And they had a diving board. Whew, I feel this all over me. And even though I had been scared of swimming, I saw one of them get up on that diving board, get a little bit cocky with it, if you will. And all of a sudden, they just jumped straight in. Huge splash. And something come over me. You know what it was? Oh, I want to do that. Oh, I want to do that. Oh, I don't want to be afraid anymore and only stay on the shallow side. And then I'd get up there on the diving board and I'd start bouncing myself, but there was something keeping me from jumping in. You know what it was? It was fear. Yeah. But all of a sudden I had a few of my playful cousins that decided while he was on the diving board, let's just go ahead and put our foot in his back and give him a little polite nudge out on the deep end. Yeah. Now let me tell you, when you get on the deep end with God, there's only one thing you can do, and realize that without him, you're not going to swim, you're going to sink. You see the challenge in the Bible when he was encountering those that were in the boat afraid of what was going on. And he said, oh, bid me to come. And he told him to come. And the very moment he stepped out on the water, there was an experience that began to happen. Oh, brother, was it great because he walked on the water? I don't think it was as great as that as it was the fact that there was finally a moment that he had where he truly surrendered to God by his faith. And it's in those moments that you take that rhema word and make it something that has an experience in your life. And we come to church all the time and we're right there on the edge of the board. We're ready to swim. We're ready to go deeper. We want God to do so much. We want deliverance from our problems. We want our loved ones to be fixed. But we're just jumping on the edge, waiting for something to happen to kick us in. But let me tell you about God's relationship with you. It is a free will. Nobody's going to kick you in the back and push you in and the Holy Ghost be all over you. It's got to be an experience where you come into surrender with God and say, Lord, I but not only believe that I've been baptized by water, but Lord, I receive that baptism by fire and ready to surrender my heart all the way to the point where you take my life. So do we need the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Do we need it? Do we need it? Yes, we do. Why do we need it? Why do we need it? That's what we need to talk about for a little while. Why do we need it? We need it, first of all, to be our teacher. Somebody say yes. The Spirit serves as your teacher. The Scripture said that we would not see the will of God unless it was by the Spirit. And I've seen so many that just get the first part of this. They get that drink of water in them and they say, well, I know God, I feel God, therefore I am okay. But then you find in their situations when they need direction, they're seeking words from every other person in the world other than already knowing the God that is inside of them. Now, I'd love to always be at church every day and get in the prayer line and say, Sister Doris, I need direction for what's in tomorrow. But sometimes you've just got to get down in the water and swim for yourself. Because if I didn't have God to quicken me when I didn't need to say anything, if I didn't have God to cause me to be quickened to stand up and praise Him, if I didn't have God to quicken me to prophesy, I'd be standing on the shallow side wishing for more. But I'm not just wishing, I'm believing and receiving what the Word of God has already promised me. And it's a promise unto me that I'm claiming as I'm on my way. Why do we need it? For guidance. For guidance. Say, for guidance. We are so spoiled to GPS nowadays. Sometimes I already know where something is, but because I don't want to think about where I'm going, I'll put in the directions. Have you ever done that before? I've ate at the same restaurant in Knoxville, downtown Knoxville, at least 20 times, and I don't need the directions. But something in me always thinks, I know that if I try to do this, I'll surely make a wrong turn somewhere and get lost on my way to where I want to go. Now let me get real plain about this. The Spirit as your teacher is also your guidance. And if it's your guidance that will show you to stop trying to always drive it the way you want to go and let God show you which turns to take on the way to your blessing. It'll keep you from being with somebody that you were never meant to be with. It'll cause you to stop making decisions that'll alter the course of your life. My God, there's people that have got divorced before the time because they wanted to go ahead and get to where they thought they needed to go when God was trying to show them there was something greater. There have been homes that have been destroyed as a result of doing it their own way. We need direction. Somebody say that with me tonight. We need direction. We have to understand that the way is by His will. Spent a half hour today in counsel with someone as they wait upon what needs to happen. And in my most sincere appeal, this is all that I can offer. If you will seek God and live to serve Him first, then that which you need to show you the way will guide you and save you out of so many different kinds of harm. Now, we preached on this a little while back about the pathways of life, blessings and cursings. We preached about that which would deceive us, which is the voice of the enemy, and how often we listen to it, and how we get to the point where we think that the voice of the enemy is the way that's guiding us to do what we do. You want to know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about how people can have something against each other in the house of God. I'm talking about when people won't support each other because of something they heard about somebody. I'm talking about a lack of unity in the body of Christ. But answer this for me, friend. Are we not called as one body, whether Jew or Gentile? Are we not called as one set of believers unified by one Spirit? Nod for me, because the answer is yes. We're one body. We are one. There is no difference. We all bleed the same. We all feel heartbreak the same. We all have family problems. We've all had workplace problems. We've all had fits with the devil when he tries to vex us. Yet we act like we're so different than one another. But bless God, as I feel the presence of the Lord, if you step into how you feel the presence of the Lord, the Scripture said where two or three would agree that He would. So here we are, the entrance of the Spirit, not only just for an occasion, but for ongoing efforts, comes in like what?
the same way that it came to the earth. Oh, if it moved the waters, that means that there was something moving that you couldn't even see. My Lord and my God, I'm glad that the Spirit didn't show up in something that I could see. Because if I did, sometimes I'd probably run the other way. Because what the Spirit does, it'll show me. Brother, you've got to let go of some things. Brother, you've got to learn to move in this situation. Let me tell you what the Spirit is going to do. It's going to move you. It's going to cause the waters around you to begin to move. God don't want you to get filled up and turn into some stagnated, stinky old pond. He wants that water inside of you to be moving to the point that if He said, go left, that you'll go left. That if He said, hold your peace, that you'll know when to hold it down. Comes as a mighty rushing wind and becomes evidence as cloven tongues. Fire. Baptism by fire. Cloven tongues of fire. Brother, why wasn't it just more water? Let's go back a little bit to a scripture. To a prophet of God that was facing some 850 people and had everybody working against him based on what they had been taught. Oh Lord, we're not ready for this, but I've come to give it anyway. 850 people that thought they knew God, that thought they knew what would move their God. But you find that they reached the point of even cutting themselves, but still to no avail. So he not only took the offering that he was going to set forth, but he even hindered what would have caused the scientific progress of earthly materials to hinder the wood. What did he do? He poured water over everything. He poured it to the point that there by physics and science would have been no way that that would have burned, Brother Joe. Brother, there's no way that that God can move in their life. There's no way. Do you not see what we've already tried? Do you not see what the world has already done? You've got a whole world trying to tell you that they can only be changed and moved one way. But out of the efforts and sacrifice of one, you find that the winds begin to move and it became a consuming fire. And out of that consuming fire took every bit of that sacrifice all the way to the dirt. Talked about that it was licked up every part. Let me tell you, when you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, there won't be anything left of you that is impure. He said, out of the ashes that beauty would rise. That tells me that when he baptized me, he consumed me. You want to know if somebody's filled with the Holy Ghost? Don't wait for them to speak in tongues. Look to see how they're living their life and see just how much of God has truly consumed how they live. Wait a minute, brother. Whoa. I thought you meant that the evidence is when I heard tongues. Well, yeah, that's true. Evidence of the Spirit of God in you becomes fruitful and people will bear that fruit. But the evidence of change comes when you are fully consumed by the Spirit of God. If our services and all the things that come in with people, if it is expected to be any different, do you know where we're going? You might have 850 people from the front to the back, left to the right, trying to overtake your service. But if you'll come in and pour out all of you and every bit that you have, that God will come in like a consuming fire and take everything that would stand in your way. So why do we need it? We need a power beyond ourselves for service and ministry in the kingdom of God. You need strength beyond yours. When I worship, I don't just worship because it feels good. I worship because I'm reaching for strength. It's not even mine. I'm fighting for peace that I don't have. I'm being faithful for things I cannot see.
I'm going out a little bit deeper. Brother, why do you try? Because I can't stay on the shallow side any longer. I can't stand back and be a gazer. I've got to be a grazer. I can't be a gazer. I've got to be a grazer. Don't just tell me the water's there. Show me where it is so I can get in with you and let's swim a little while. Put our differences aside and let God have his way.
You see, as I began to swim a little bit, I had a lot of what I thought were lifeguards in my life that would come to save me. But let me tell you what happened. As I began to testify more, it started to sound a little bit more like preaching. That was around the time I first started coming to Doris's church. I was just a testifier. I didn't take an hour and 10 minutes like I normally do. I was just testifying. You should have been there. Lasted only 15 minutes. It's quick. But I realized that where I was at, and as God was growing me, I had plenty of people that were yelling from the bank, "Oh, you better come in now." They didn't say that. You know what they did? They stopped saying amen. Somebody help me. They stopped being supportive. I used to get 8 to 10 hugs after I'd testify, and all of a sudden they just stood there like, "I don't know. That's getting a little long for me, brother. You've not had your ordination service, and well, you've not had everybody from every church approve of your character in order for you to be called. So I don't know." And I finally had the nerve to say to one of my leaders, "I'd love for the opportunity to preach." This is what I was told. "Oh, when we're ready for you, we'll be sure to call you." I went for 6 months, and do you know that they didn't even speak to me? Not a handshake, not a high five. We were able to coexist, but we were not one. And I begin to wonder now, Lord, can I be fruitful for where I am? And I tried for a little while to try to go to different places and be of help. But the Lord showed me, you cannot swim where the water is still. Because in still water lies bitterness. He said bitter and sweet waters won't dwell in the same place. And God created an opportunity for me here by giving me people that were supportive of me as I was starting out. You know, it's not every day that people let other people preach that were not ordained, not licensed, but definitely didn't have his act together. I was still learning on my feet. I was still trying to live life without the wingies, if you will, trying to understand God's will for my life. And until I learned that what I did was for others and not for me, I didn't truly learn that I was called. But then one day after I got through preaching, one day after I finally got to see somebody saved for the first time, I then realized, Lord, there must be something about what I'm doing here. There are a lot of people today that don't understand what they're called to do. You got a lot of people that say, "I'm still waiting on what the Lord wants me to do." But let me tell you, friend, if you're ever going to understand your calling, you've got to learn to swim in the presence of God. You've got to learn to get out there a little bit and use, "Oh Lord, I feel it all over my feet right now." Use a little bit of what God has in you. And as you swim a little while, your testimony will become exhortation. Your song will become life-changing, people-saving. Your ministry will become profitable. Now, I've learned that in the scripture that there's over 100 different references to the Spirit of God. So that means it was in there and everywhere. But we've entered into the day of this is all I need. This is all I need. I just want to go to a church where I fit in. I just want to go to a church where I feel like they love me. And I want to go to a church where I can listen, pay attention, and learn something. But I didn't hear anything in there that is the MO of the Holy Ghost. Did you? The Holy Ghost is something that cannot be divided from ministry. Without the Holy Ghost in it, it is not ministry. It is religion. It becomes ministry when you let God be a part of your ambitions. For an example, somebody wants to be saved. It's great to quote the prayer of salvation with them. But are you leading them to follow what they feel? Are you teaching them to go with what's in their heart and begin to surrender deeper things to God? Well, no, I just want to pray with them and get another number on the tally. Well, I've been to some revivals before where if you got up to go to the bathroom, they thought you were coming to the altar. They'd count you as saved even though you weren't. And they saw a dog running down the road and thought they were coming to the saved right there. And they heard them talking but didn't understand what they were saying because they were too far away. Oh, they got filled with the Holy Ghost. Did you hear it, my brother? Oh, you should have been there at church. We had 3 filled with the Holy Ghost and 5 saved. Well, did you really? Check the goods, friends. You cannot call everything that is professed to be something that it is when it is not what it says it is. If you are saved, you are changed. And if you are filled with His Spirit, you are transformed to a new creature, and old things shall die. Amen. That means we go from just profession to application. Profession, as I believe, as what I hear. But Scripture said, be not hearers only, but doers. So don't just say you know that the Holy Ghost is real and profess you know of Him, but believe that it is for you to grow in you. Because here's the stigma that's going on today. I don't know if you're aware of today's stereotypes, but people typically associate the terminology of getting the Holy Ghost with speaking in tongues, okay? And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with speaking in tongues as a result of getting the Holy Ghost, but here's what's happening. People are afraid to speak in tongues. They don't know how to speak in tongues. And this stigma and stereotype keeps people from understanding what the true benefit of having the Holy Ghost submersion in their life really is. You see, it's not just about receiving a gift. It's about surrendering yourself. It's not just about what you can get out of it. It's what it does that changes you. You see, since that day where He changed me, I've no longer spoke the same. You will not catch me using words not of God. All right? And if you use words not of God, my friend, you cannot say you have something that you do not. Amen. Amen. Amen? And if you say that you worship with everybody else in the power of the Spirit, but you never worship, do not say that you have something to which you do not have. Because if you have it, it will move you to do it. Oh, I'm filled with His Spirit to preach. Well, bless God. Praise God for another minister in the calling. When's your next appointment? Oh, I don't know. Where are you working at? Oh, still waiting on that open door. Had somebody tell me a long time ago when I said, I just can't seem to get an appointment. They said, get a broadcast. Yeah. What? A broadcast. There's no churches that'll have you preach on the radio. You'll reach a lot more people that way. Just like a mind blow. What? So that's where my ministry really began, on the radio. Then He's began to open doors as a result of people getting to hear it. The beauty of it all is that through that entire process, I didn't have to fight or linger over whether I was called to preach. I didn't have to fight or linger over when I was going to get the chance. God's Spirit led me in every step of the way. So let me round back up to this. Why is the Holy Ghost important? Are we seeing that? Yeah. If we cannot understand God's will in our life, then we must seek another comforter that will help us be patient in a season. I don't understand all the things I go through, but I have a comforter. Oh, bless the Lord. I have a comforter that helps me get through it even though I don't understand why. I've got family members that I've had to let go of before I ever wanted to and still don't understand why. I've got loved ones that are dealing with disease and cancer and issues, inner home problems. I've got family on both sides dealing with things I would have never dreamed for them to ever go through, and I don't understand why. But I have a comforter that speaks to me in the midnight hour, and it reminds me to hold on and to be faithful over a few things. For if I'll be faithful over, oh Lord, if I'll be faithful over a few things, He's going to make me a ruler over many. So my friend, you may not understand why. You may not even understand what's going on. But if you'll be faithful and be comforted, you'll get through this. I'm going to try to get going and wrap this up, because God's got something good in here tonight. So I wouldn't go all this way without answering the most important question. How do I receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost? I must admit, for a long time, this topic I was afraid of, because I never truly even understood how I'd arrive to it myself. But this is something that should be just as much knowledgeable in us as it is to lead people to salvation. He said, without them both, that you cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. You ever read that? Something to consider. Do you know why? Because it's not just enough to have profession and confession. There has to be transformation. Paul was transformed by an encounter with the Spirit of God. Was he not at Damascus when he was brought to the flat of his back, not able to see, and had to be led by the hand of someone else? And did he not go from being one of the greatest critics and abusers of the church to becoming one of the proponents that established the gospel of Jesus Christ? How can you go from one extreme to another without transformation? He had heard of Jesus, but it was not enough to transform him. We cannot just lead drug addicts to confession. You've got to teach them the experience of God. Because until they understand that when they come out of that water that there's still battles to fight, they're not going to try to even understand how to do it on their own. That's why we see so many people saved and 2 weeks later they're back in the same mess, because we only were worried about praying them to salvation instead of leading them into an experience. There are young people today that know that they're saved, but they've not had an experience yet. Church, it's time that we open up the windows of heaven that they understand what the Holy Ghost truly is. We take advantage of it because we already got it. It's pretty easy to not worry about the hungry when you're at McDonald's had two Big Mac meals for yourself. It's pretty easy not to be worried about people hitchhiking when you're driving your own air-conditioned car. It's pretty easy to come to church and have a good time and not worry about anybody else's problems, because you feel good and, whoo, glory to God, it moves you, and all of a sudden you're over here and, whoo, glory to God, you're moving again. But what about those that don't have it? What about those that don't understand it? Do we take the time like we should to show them there is an additional experience to encounter? Or do we just spend our whole time enjoying ourselves? You see, I don't preach just for you to enjoy me. I preach to get you thinking. I want you to consider with me tonight this very thought. When is the last time that you had a true submersive, immersive experience with God? I mean, when was the last time that you fell down to your face and didn't get up until God had absolutely overwhelmed your spirit with His glory? When was the last time that you had an experience with God? Oh, my friend, it's so much more than words. It's so much more than getting down. The experience is there to take something that you could never change and to transform it into something that is made new. He said, old things would pass away, and behold, all things are new. That Spirit comes to take your church and to consume it and propel it that others would be saved. Amen. Let me tell you, the greatest time for the Holy Ghost and wildfire is in dry times. You know what that means? Don't just serve Him when it's saturated. Serve Him when it's dry. You mean to tell me, brother, praise Him when nobody else is praising Him? You mean to tell me, brother, testify of what you feel in your heart even when you've got 100 voices in your head telling you, don't do it. Don't do it. They're not going to listen to you anyway. So many people miss out on the experience because they're still stuck on the diving board, just dreaming. But God said, don't be just a dreamer. Be somebody that is pressing toward the mark. Don't just say it can be yours. Start going after it and saying, it's mine. Don't just think on those things that are not as though they are. Speak those things that are not as though they are. And not only speak them, live your life around it and embellish what you believe. So how do we receive this? And I know a lot of you are probably telling me, brother, you're preaching to the choir tonight. You're kind of wasting our time. I wish you'd give us something relevant. Well, let me tell you something. The only reason that we have this church is to educate people that don't understand. Somebody say amen. So if you understand it, that means God's telling you tonight, it's time you start teaching people about the Holy Ghost. And we start being just as concerned of if they've got it, just as much as salvation. Salvation is important and comes before that, and they need that. Don't get me wrong, I grew up in a church that was all about the salvation, but it does not end on salvation only. When Jesus was found, the Spirit of God came in physical like the form of a dove and was anointing and appointing Him as the Messiah of God. And let me tell you, friend, you may not see it at times, but there are doves that are ready to abound in you. There are moments where God wants everybody else around you to know, including that devil, that you are anointed and appointed to receive the promise of God. If He already took the keys, you don't have to fight the door. If He took the keys, that means that by your obedience in His presence, let me ask you something. How do you think He entered in to take the keys to the kingdom? Did He enter in flesh? Did He enter in spirit? How did He go and destroy it? He went into the heart of the earth based on what the Word of God had already provided. He already had authority over Satan. He already had authority over Satan. It's time to stop telling the devil to get off of us and still have fear. You already have authority over Satan. And you've got to exercise that by walking in what the Word of God is. Do you know what the Holy Ghost is? It's the Word of God made alive in you. Woo! It's the Word of God made alive in you. Oh, my Lord. It's this in here. It's this in here. And if it's in here, then you become what you are. And if He is the I am, then you become the you are. If He is strength as He is I am your strength, then you have strength as He is your strength. There's an example of this. He said, He who the Son has set free, the Word of God becoming in you, He is free indeed. And by his stripes, what? We are healed. That if we lay the hands on the sick, that they shall recover. He said it was in his will that you would have life and in more. Let me put that in a different way. I feel it all over me. Life inside of you and life outside of you. An inward experience and an outward experience. Not just to be thankful in your heart and sit there and say, oh, it feels so good. But to all of a sudden let something out that would become evidence of the Holy Ghost. Is the evidence of the Word of God only because you read it or because you live it? It's because you live it. Your communication to other people of the Word of God is how you live, not what you read to them. You are a witness to other people based on how you live, how you talk, and the decisions you make that center your will to what God has in store for you. But we miss out on so much because we're not being led by the Holy Ghost. So I want to read a couple scriptures to you, and I'm going to come to a close because I want to close in prayer tonight. Because I feel like we need to have a call for an outpouring. Is that okay? We're going to pray for some outpouring. It may happen tonight, I don't know. But God told me to pray for outpouring, for what's coming. There's already been people that's been telling me they're praying for revival. Well, we just had it confirmed on Friday for somebody that somebody testified of, that they believe revival's coming. Out of the word of two or three, well, I don't know when it's going to happen, but I'm ready for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. But God wants us to make sure to be ready to produce that experience for people. So number one, how do we receive this? Once you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you just have to ask Him to baptize you in His Spirit. Now, I want to make something perfectly clear, because I have people that struggle at this point of this. Some people have asked me that have grew up maybe in one teaching and denomination, well, are you telling me that when I was saved that I didn't receive His Spirit? Are you telling me that when I was saved that I didn't receive of God? Are you telling me that what I have isn't enough? I'm going to clarify. When you received salvation, you were convicted by His Spirit. And you were moved by faith. That means at the very beginning of your life, you already were moved by the Spirit inside of you. And you stepped out by your faith. So when you receive salvation, as Jesus comes into your life, it embodies the forgiveness of your soul. Conviction can help a multitude of things. But let me tell you something. There's more to it. Can I just give you a couple examples of this? Just what I've seen. Churches that we go to, visit, and sing, I don't make a difference to anybody. So when they move the way they feel moved, I don't consider it any less than when somebody gets in here and has them a dance fit. I consider everybody moving by God in their way something God can bless. But here's what I found. When people begin to feel Him in some places where salvation is stressed higher than the Holy Ghost, the only thing they know to do is to go hug other people's neck that's surrounded by conviction and to go repent. Okay? So let me put it to you like this. You have, when you receive salvation, the capacity of His love and Spirit to always lead you back to mercy, and by His grace you are sustained. Can you say yes? There is a portion of God that is given unto you, and by the baptism of the water, of the physical water, you find that your commitment to God begins. But if it were not enough, then He would have just left it at that. But He spoke in His word. He was sending us something else. Amen. Yeah. So let me tell you what the Holy Ghost does. It is the embodiment and filling of your inner temple. Let me put it to you like this. When Jesus comes into your life and you're forgiven of your sin, you remove all the junk that would keep you from being able to have church in your life. But without an external outpouring of God's anointing in your temple, your attendance is few and far between. You're only moved to pray to say you're sorry. But God wants you to have an intimate relationship and experience with Him. And it goes beyond just repentance and conviction. You see, the outpouring of the anointing of God is what turns being moved by conviction to be moved to worship. He said in the last days that he would pour out his spirit on all flesh. What did it say that they would do? Dream dreams, see visions, they'd prophesy. And let me tell you, that's not anything that they were doing prior to receiving Christ. It was something that is adds unto your life. So I want to make something very clear. Can people get to where they need to get just knowing Christ? Yes, they can. But there's so much more to have than just knowing Christ. You've got to understand that there's more to ministry than just worrying about you being saved. You've got to know and understand that there's a will and purpose for you. There is more for you to do. There is more work for you to do. Luke 11 and 13 says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" So in order to receive more of him, his word says, ask him for it. We receive salvation by confession, and we can receive more of his spirit by inquiring of having more. He said, we have not because we ask not. And I find that my life is so much more enriched now. Not because I feel like that before I was lacking. But Doris, let me put it like this. It's one thing to say that you're a swimmer on the shallow end. But it's another to be able to get on the deep side of the pool and be comfortable. There are a lot of people that are really uncomfortable with the situations of their life, and I fear to say, do not have enough of the Spirit in them to be sustained through the entirety of the trial. This is why we find people that'll quit church after they go through something. I mean, I'm just going to talk about it. You can talk about it later. I'm talking about it now. People get saved 2 weeks later, don't think they got anything. Now, if they encounter something real and fulfilling, then they'll go from just being forgiven to being transformed. Can I put it like that? You'll go from just coming to church to being a part of the church. You'll come from just being a hearer of the word, but becoming an embodiment of the word and starting to do what the word has called you to do. There's a part of the scripture where it said, servant, heal thyself. We'll call everybody and our brother when we get them sniffles, won't we? Hot. Whew. I don't know if I'm getting rid of this or not. Sister Doris, pray for me. I've got the sniffles. Heal thyself. Got back pain. Heal thyself. Got mental problems. Speak those things that are not as though they are, and see God move in your situation. 1 John 1 and 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So he cleanses us out of everything that would ever keep us from having more of him. Let me tell you this, if you knew me as a thief, then you wouldn't let me sit in your house if you didn't have trust in me, right? Righteousness is proving your trust to God. And if he cleanses us of all unrighteousness, then he establishes a trust with us based on what has been removed from us. So therefore, if we can be trusted with more, then we can be given more. I tell you this much, if you hurt somebody enough, they're not just going to let you do what you want according to your favor with them. You've got to build up trust and respect to them, and God is not going to pour out such an amazing experience on somebody that's only halfway serving their life to him. That's why you have to be careful of every prophecy you hear. That's why you have to be careful
of that which you stand beside and worship with. Because until you are aware of what the Holy Ghost truly is in you, then we may not perceive that the enemy is at work to look and sound like the Holy Ghost. Now, Scripture says his sheep know his voice, and a stranger they will not follow. He said, do not be led easily by every wind. Say wind. Wind of doctrine that comes about you. That means there's going to be some forms of false wind. There's going to be some things that will make you want to feel good, and you'll feel a little wind come by your way, but there's something that sits at an unrest in your heart because you just can't connect with it. And God's wanting you to know and understand that it's so much more than being around any kind of wind. There is a wind. It's the one that came in the beginning, and if we're in him, we'll know him. Why are you going on about this, brother? Because the churches that are left, that still are professing the Holy Ghost, are not leading people to the true experience of the baptism. They are leading them to the sounds of the Holy Ghost. They're leading them to the worship of the Holy Ghost, but they're not getting them to the proponent that transforms their life. Somebody help me preach this tonight. They are not being led into swimming in the deep. They're being led to swimming on top of the deep water, but not going into the deep water. How do you know, brother? Because they'll stand before you and dance before you and shout before you, but then they'll cuss out the person that makes them mad the next time that they're around somebody. And I'm telling you, that every wind is the wind of God. Why is this all important? I'm glad you asked. Actually, I asked myself, but I'm glad I asked myself. Why is this important? Because if you are going to stand in this evil day, you have to have the Holy Ghost in your life. You have to have, oh, I feel this in my soul. You have to have the Holy Ghost in your life. For without it, you'll perish by other false winds. And I'm telling you, there's not only false winds. Scripture said there'd be strange fire. That means people will be led to think they're okay. And when they come to the kingdom of heaven at the day of judgment, he'll say, there'll be those that say, Lord, Lord, and he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. That means you can't just go to every church and have a good time until you learn how to have a good time in your temple. To understand him, or otherwise you'll be led astray by religion, by tradition, by people, by the way they tell you to do it, by the way they tell you to sing, by the way they tell you to dress, by the way they tell you to conduct yourself. You'll get lost in the rough kind of water that'll drown you. Let me tell you, those people, the prophets of Baal in the grove, they screamed, oh, they toiled. Oh, they shouted. They mutilated themselves to try to prove their point. But here's what I found in the churches today. They can do all they want to do, but when it comes time for transformation, it is not effective. It's not. It's not. You know why? Because it's not enough to keep our young people. It's not enough to keep our middle-aged people motivated. And it's not even enough to get us elders. Can I just put myself in the elder bunch tonight? It's not enough to get us elders to even come together in the midst of God's Spirit. I ain't talking to no five-year-old in here. So you take this real plain. If we can't even come together in the Spirit, then you better look inside of your temple and ask yourself, is the Spirit dwelling inside of me? Because if it were, you would be inclined to move. There was a song that Mercy Me did a while back called Move.
When I heard that song, the first thing I saw was just like a mighty rushing rapid, something that's moving. Let me tell you, when you begin to move in the Holy Ghost, it's just like a wave begins to hit the mist. When you begin to speak in other tongues, anointed by the Holy Ghost, all of a sudden you begin to start having waging warfare in the heavenlies. The Bible said you don't wage war against flesh and blood. You're fighting something you can't even see. So many people are hung up on what they see, what they hear, what people are telling them about their loved ones, that we are failing to get the bigger picture. Here's what I realized when God baptized me. I lost my perception in faith. You see, my faith back then was enough to believe if I sat in this chair, that this chair is going to hold me. That if I bought this new car, according to what the salesman's telling me, it's going to last me as long as I need to drive it. That if I invested in this bank, that their interest rates wouldn't go down and I'd continue to make money if I put my money in there. Now, I remember sitting at my first employer. My first employer told me, this is not a sinking ship. They laid off 13 2 weeks later. Now, let me tell you something about what happens when you try to put your trust in things other than God. They're going to let you down. But the Holy Ghost comes by that even when you can't understand it, that you'll still be comforted to believe that He will move. We read in the scripture, somebody said, I count all these things as a mess. Nothing. But that which is compared in me, the glory which shall be, oh Lord, I can't even say it, the glory which shall be revealed. One more scripture and I'll close. Acts 2 and 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So let's address this doctrinally first. Let me get that word right first. Doctrinally. You can't jump in just seeking for the Holy Ghost and think you're saved. All right? And you can't just seek for salvation and think you've got everything. There is something about the interconnection of both baptisms. Now, I'm going to clarify on this right now. I believe they are both necessary components to a fulfilling life. That means a life where you can actually be happy even in the midst of unhappiness. To truly unlock the Word of God, we must receive all of the Word of God. Oh, but my friend, didn't you know those gifts, they were gone with the apostles. What are you talking about? I heard somebody teach this once, and I'm just going to piggyback on what they said. Could you imagine if that were actually true? If that were actually true, the entire world would have been lined up when the last disciple was on his deathbed. That was a part of the experience. And they would have been saying, get out of my way. I've got to get to this guy before he croaks, because he's the last one on earth that's got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Get out of my way. I've got to get there. I've got to get healed. But it is so much more than saying that it went out with somebody. You see, when people argue that it went out with the apostles, you know what you're saying? That you're elevating the apostles to the level of God. But you see, us human beings without God are nothing. We're just dirt. We were formed after the Spirit. That tells me that Spirit has its place in my food chain. It's supposed to have authority over me. It was brought into the world even before the proponents of my survival. Think about that. It moved the very waters that life came into. That means that if the Spirit is not in me and I'm not transformed, then truly I miss out. That's the best way I like to put it. I don't like telling people that if they don't have that fulfilling and outpouring in their life, that they're nothing. Because some people will make them feel like that. And there's people that sit out there today, some people that attend, here regularly that sometimes feel like they're out of place because they've only been saved and not had an experience. But you know, the truth be told, I believe that it's our fault as a church for not educating people about the experience, its importance, and how necessary it is for people's lives. Not to make them feel like that they've got something even better, just to say they can add it to their Bible belt, if you will, but it's to show them it can enrich their lives to transformation. We get so caught up in the religion and the doctrine and the tradition and what everybody's always told us that we forget about the whole reason it was ever given. It was given to be our comfort. It was given to be our comfort, that it would be there to teach you. He said to pray in the Holy Ghost. But oftentimes when we pray, Doris, we'll lean on our own words. We'll pray of our own feelings and not surrender into His presence. Let me give you this last one. Ephesians 1 and 13. In whom you also trusted, after that you heard of the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You know what that tells me? That when I get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, there is something that seals the deal in my life. It seals the deal and confirms and establishes me to the point where when the Word of God is applied in every part of it, that it must come to pass. That means if I'm sealed with His presence, no weapon formed against me shall ever prosper. That if I resist the devil, that he will flee. That if I will bind those things which are on earth and loose other things that need to be loosed, that it shall come to pass. But without that, we stick to so much concern over how we fail. But the Holy Spirit takes you from just being sorry that you failed and starts teaching you how to change. Isn't that wonderful? It keeps you from just repenting for the failure, but learning from your mistakes. That's what God's Spirit is. It quickens you before you fail at it again. It speaks to you like your conscience and tells you, you don't need to do this. You just did this. You don't need to make this mistake. You've already had this conversation. Don't go there. God working in our lives and teaching us. Now, I believe people have conscience. They have a conscience before they ever receive Christ. But even man's conscience can be corrected. There were some things I never thought I'd ever believe that I've changed my mind on. There's been some things that until I was a part of the experience, I didn't truly know it to be true. I was told my whole life, oh, don't you listen to no women. Bible says they need to keep their mouth shut. It was only until then I went to a revival where there was a minister that was a woman, and she was preaching, and I'll be honest with you, all of a sudden something started happening to me. I was like, now wait a minute, this can't be real, because everybody's always told me it can't happen. And all of a sudden, I had tears running down my eyes as she was preaching. I thought, well, I don't know what's going on with this. And you know what the Lord spoke to me? I show no difference to anyone. And from that day on, I changed my mind. And I am a full supporter of every woman that is convicted to believe they are called of God. But the Spirit had to show me that. Did you know that? Listen, you can think you know it, that you're okay doing all of this your way. And you know what? Good luck, because at the end of it, I bet I'll meet you there in failure, because our righteousness is as filthy rags. Our best efforts, our best thoughts, our best actions always will lead to failure. Why? Because when it does not glorify God, it cannot prosper. Amen. Bottom line, He wants you to have a promotion, not because you deserve it. He wants you to have a promotion because He loves you. And if you get promoted, He wants you to use that to show someone else that does not have that they can have if they go the way that you went. Yeah. Let's just not come in and just worry about feeling what we feel without ever taking the time to say, come on in this a little bit deeper. Let's get off the diving board and let's jump in this thing feet first. Yeah.
I remember one of the first times I ever jumped off Cedar Creek Bridge. How many of you are familiar with that location? At the time that water was so low, it was probably about a 35-foot drop. I was scared to death the first time I did it. And I remember that feeling that came over me the moment I came off that thing and was on my way down. But when I hit feet first, I went down so deep I had to start trying to get my way back up to the surface. And let me tell you, when you surrender yourself to God, it's going to move you. And you're going to do something. Can I say something instead of something? You're going to do something. Don't do just something. Do something. Like the song she was talking about. When God moves you, you're going to move. And when people need prayer, you're going to move. And when people start singing, you're going to move. And when people prophesy, you're going to move. And when people preach, you're going to move. God wants this place to be moving and not dead. It's not a graveyard. It's a revival. It's a resurrection of the glory of God. This ain't no tomb. This ain't no place where we're grieving anymore. He said, I would send you another comforter. Why? Because it didn't end in a funeral. It ended in a revival that brought back to life that which was dead to be transformed into new creatures. So I'm going to close right there. And this is what I'm going to ask of you. And you can pray wherever you want to pray. In the altar, in your car. In other words, if you need to go, you can pray on your way home. But we're going to pray for outpouring. And what I'm asking you to agree in faith with me on is, God, I believe that we are going to start seeing more of your Spirit in our churches. And number one, help me to yield. And number two, help me to help somebody.